Hi, this is Chris Cluey, and you're listening to Best Threesome Ever.
Welcome to Best Threesome Ever, a podcast discussing all things revolving around nerdy pop culture. Probably not what you were expecting, but it's just as fun. Now here are your hosts, Nick, Rob, and Kevin.
Hi, and welcome to Best Threesome Ever, episode 65, live at Convergence 2018. I'm Nick.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Crystal.
Yay, substituting for Rob, because Rob is absentia.
Doing taiko drum gehibbity bibbities.
Gehibbity bibbities. I like it when you say gehibbity bibbities.
Me too. It's fun to say.
It's a fun word. This is the last day of Con, so if you hear some background noise, we are recording live at Con. This is our unedited live Con version that we've been doing for the past couple of years. Just kind of recap Con a little bit. How was your guys' Con experience?
The most relaxing Con I've ever been to.
Yeah. And I think that was because we were in the other tower this year. Not having to stress out about the elevators and stuff, I think really improved the state of mind.
Not to mention, I think everybody had a more laid-back feel because it wasn't the pressure of party.
Party room? No party room this year?
Yeah. I didn't go to a single one, and I feel super bad about that.
I still tossed a couple bucks into my favorites.
I zipped through them real quick yesterday, and I went into Transvestite Soups, Rocky Horror one. I didn't get a drink, but I just threw them like $5.
Mm-hmm.
Said, hey, here you go.
You still want to encourage the party rooms, right? Whether or not they are allowed to give away alcohol. So.
Right.
Oh, and I did go on the Harry Potter one because I remember last year I wanted to see it, didn't get to see it.
So what'd you think about it this year?
It was cool.
It's very cool.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, they win for a reason.
They're one of the top rooms here.
And I might have also gone in there to see like how they do their stuff and looked at their setup and go, oh, that's how they do that. That makes sense.
Yeah, I actually found some some kind of laboratory backdrop walls that I think I might get if we do the lair again next year.
Future reference.
And I saw how they made their ceiling, and it was super simple. I'm like, why didn't I think of this? But they... obviously very precise measurements because they're like right up to the ceiling. Mm-hmm. But that's the theater technician in me looking at stupid stuff like that. But it was very cool. They have, man.
I like the little check-in portal in the little bathroom entrance and stuff.
Yeah. That and then like the display cabinet that they had and even their like bar area was just
unbelievable. Do a stellar job. I was sad this year not to see the Star Trek room.
Mm-hmm. Right, yep.
Because normally they go cuckoo as
well.
Yeah,
that was one of my favorites to go to.
Yeah.
With the teleporters and everything. Mm-hmm.
Well, they get the double room even.
Normally, yes.
Yeah. And I don't even remember. They didn't really... I don't think they served alcohol in that room at all.
I think they did for a few years. I don't think... I can't remember the last couple.
I can't remember either.
I can't either.
Yay,
but
memory.
I remember going there, but I know they at least used to have an alcoholic, like Romulan ale.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's probably true.
Some blue drink.
And they had snackies.
Right.
And snackies. So hungry.
I'm very hungry. We were very hungry. We just woke up. We are checking out of the hotel and finishing up our last day at Con, so it's been a day. I made myself
a sandwich.
What do you guys see any panels? Be on any panels? Do any panels?
I was on the Minnesota Herpetological panel because I'm part of the Minnesota Herpetological Society. And for those who do not know what that is snakes, alligators, reptiles, amphibians. And we did a talkie talk and then hands-on afterwards. I've been with them for the last 9 years. They did the math. It's scary. And... It was a really good event, and we were standing room only, which is always really encouraging.
What room were you in?
Atrium 4, the big one.
Yeah, the really big one, yeah.
But, I mean, if you have an opportunity to come see a whole bunch of scalies, a lot of people flock towards the scalies, so.
What, nerds like reptiles? No.
We didn't bring the alligator this year, though.
Oh, didn't you?
Bobber was cranky.
Didn't you have to talk about the difference between alligators?
I did talk about it, but we had...
You didn't bring it?
We had a PowerPoint that we brought. The hotel didn't provide any resources for us, so we had to bring...
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, right.
You know, a projector of our own, a projector screen, our own microphones, our own everything.
Right. Which is weird because in the Edina room and the Bloomington room, they had projectors up, and I saw in some of the other rooms they had projectors up, but yeah,
But the big guy that we needed? No.
No. Jerks. I had a projector, you should ask me. I had it with me.
It's okay. We anticipated when we found out that they weren't going to help us out at all.
Right.
So we had brought some stuff.
Oh, that was nice.
But yeah, we had a good selection of animals. And I got bit twice, but I didn't even feel it. Yay.
By a, tiny. What I learned was a not venomous snake, but there's a difference between venomous and poisonous. Mm.
There is.
And I was edumacated, so now I know.
Poison's when you eat it. Venomous is when it eats you.
That's fun to think about. Did you guys go see any panels or any panels that you really liked?
Literally, the only panel I saw was yours.
Really?
Yeah, I forgot to sign up for panels. I forgot to go to panels. I did a lot of walking around and exploring and socializing. Sure, this was a very social con for me this year because I felt like I didn't get to, other than when I was working the party room last year, I didn't get to socialize or do any of the con stuff I'm used to be able to doing. Right. And so I kind of felt like I needed to make up for it.
Yeah, it was really nice. We were able to, I'd gone to the dealer's room a couple times without any stress, which was lovely. And I watched the masquerade. We crammed like 40 people in one person's hotel room and watched the masquerade and were just snarking, which is one of my favorite activities to do. Although the masquerade was even short this year. They only had 27 entries.
Really?
That was it.
That's really low.
That's very low. And like, we were expecting this to be, you know, it can go on for a few hours. And they were done presenting within the first half hour.
Jeez. Hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
Maybe I should have entered.
You should have entered.
I think I've just felt, from walking around and being around, I just felt like attendance this year was really kind of low.
Well, I think a lot of people dropped after everything that happened with, you know, the hotel and all that. So.
Right. Well, I hope they return. I really do. Like, they're... I was talking to I don't remember who it was. It was some unknown person about the attendance, and they were saying, well, they probably left, and they'll never come back. I'm like, no, they'll probably come back. I think they're just protesting this year and not, which is unfortunate because, I mean, I get it, but, you know, I do hope they return. I hope next year at the Hyatt Regency?
Yep, Hyatt Regency, downtown Minneapolis. That's where we will be.
I haven't been in for years, so I don't remember what it looks like exactly, and I don't know the setup, so I don't know if it's anything like this. So...
They will not have the same setup as far as the Garden Court party area.
Mm-hmm.
And when what I've heard, because Anime Detour was there earlier this year, is there is a big section for all the convention stuff pushed to the side. Sure. And then they have two towers. And for Anime
and then they
Detour.
Have Return of the King.
And then they have the far tower away from all the convention that they started doing the party room stuff, and there's escalators that go between and elevators, and it's, they said it was a little awkward, but I'm sure Convergence will learn from Anime Detour's like test run.
Right. They're beta testing, right?
And then we will build off of that.
Well, I know when we were at Anime Fusion last year, they had party rooms and they were just normal, like, you know, here at the Doubletree, they have the cabanas. And at Anime Fusion, it was just like normal hotel rooms that were their party rooms, which was interesting.
Weirder.
Yeah.
It was, I mean, there wasn't as many people, but it was, I would just imagine if a similar setup at the Hyatt Regency and with all the people, it would just get very crowded very quickly. Yeah. Especially if you're just in hotel hallways and you're just, it would be crowded.
Yeah.
So.
This location does have the most unique party room setup of any conventions that I've gone to.
And that will be missed.
And that will be missed. Like TeslaCon even.
Yeah.
When we go to TeslaCon, it's in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin, it's a steampunk convention, and they take over a hotel as well, but they only have one tower, but it's set up with the huge empty middle here, and so you would think you'd feel a little bit like it, but they don't have the party rooms all on the same floor, so you'd go from one party room and then have to go up a couple floors to another party room to
And that's
weird.
How MarsCon worked at the hotel it's been at. Like, all the party rooms were on, like, the sort of the higher floors, and they would just be in random people's...
Isn't that the
rooms.
Sheridan Airport one, or...?
Something like that.
Okay.
I don't know. It's been a while since I've been to MarsCon.
Other than Convergence, I haven't... And Anime Fusion last year, I have not... I'm still kind of a newbie to all the cons and things, and so it's new to me.
Yeah. Last time I went, I cosplayed as Leon S. Kennedy from Resident Evil.
Been to a lot of comic book conventions and, you know, what used to be actual Star Trek conventions, but never like anything like this. So.
Yeah, this is a different creature.
I went to an actual Star Trek convention when I was a little kid, like a kid. Two Klingons use me for Klingon hockey because the puck is supposed to be a human. preferably a human child.
Ah, I remember very distinctly. I think I was in like sixth grade maybe. And there was at the Minneapolis Convention Center, there was a Star Trek convention, and my dad took me, and that's where I bought my first, like, those phasers I have in my office.
Sure.
I bought those there for, like, $30 or something like that. I totally remember that, and it was fun, and I think that I was really excited. I was, like, super excited, and I was like, I want to make a Star Trek uniform. My mom never made me one. And kind of thankfully, because obviously I've only would have been able to wear it for so long, and then I grew up, but... I want to make one now still. I just have to find somebody to make one.
Well, let's talk about the cosplay that we saw this year.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that is something that this convention is known for.
Absolutely.
And it's not... In the beginning, when I first started coming here, it was like a 50-50 spread. You'd go down to the garden court and you would see, you know, half of the people dressed up in different characters and then half of them not. This year, I want to say it was the most dense, packed cosplay...
It was a lot.
You know, community there, and if you weren't dressed up, you probably had a camera around your neck,
right? Or you were dressed up at one point but then just got
got too hot,
or
that's the Kevin move
or the shoes hurt, that's the Crystal move,
or the people that change like 20 times in a night. I met a group of people, one of the people that was on my panel, they came in as the Foot Clan, and by the way,
oh, that was hilarious.
They were phenomenal looking, like they were the old school cartoon Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle black and purple Foot Clan, and they looked really awesome, and there was probably about 8 or 9 of them, and they looked amazing, and they were like, oh yeah, we just threw this together in like last minute, like the last 3 days, but it was so good, and like even their eyes lit up, and it was really good. What was the other ones that I liked? I don't know. There's so many.
I really enjoyed, and I kept trying to get Kevin's attention on this one, the Power Rangers WWE wrestlers. Every single one of them had a belt, but a different kind of belt. And
I did not see this.
Was amazing. Their spandex outfits were like the traditional full body, mm-hmm. almost like high school wrestler cut. But they totally had the diamonds and the emblem on the front, and like Trini's belt had the fringe on it, and it was amazing.
Right. I'm just thinking of all the. I just they passed so quickly, and like, oh, that's so cool. Or I saw a lot of Elastigirls this year, or Incredibles.
Yeah, one of the Elastigirls was amazing.
There was a couple of them.
Yeah.
Two Syndromes competed in the Masquerade to an adult and child. The child did so much better. And he didn't have mom's help. I found that out because my friend Kat was judging again for the Masquerade, and she's like, his technique was amazing, and his parents didn't help out at all on the outfit. So
wow.
Big props to him.
Nice.
Although she did beehive his hair. But wow. What you going to do?
There was an Adea from Final Fantasy VIII I was a very big fan of. There was a gal who was dressed as Samus Aran in her Zero suit. But then on the side, she had pixelated the original
yes.
Metroid armor
yes.
like
on
slats hanging on her side. So when she turned, she was in the armor. But when she was facing you, she was Samus. It was outstanding. Crystal's friend is Valkyrie.
Leslie.
Who I have activated full crush mode on. like, picture perfect Valkyrie. She looks exactly like her.
Yeah, she does.
Yeah. I have really good cosplay friends, like Rin and her. Did you? Yeah, you saw the Negasonic Teenage Warhead.
I saw pictures. I never saw her in person.
Oh my god, her butt!
Shout out to the Negasonic Teenager. Shout out to the Negasonic Teenage Warhead who.
Judge
gave us the higher score in the cosplay wars.
Yeah, how did that turn out for you?
So, my buddy Blake and I, we decided to sign up for the cosplay wars because he and I are both okay
creative.
At it. We're creative people. He actually has a lot of costuming experience, and I'm really good at jury-rigging crap to look like other crap. So we're like, we can do this. and so we grab Amanda, who,
right.
of course, you guys will remember from a couple earlier episodes.
Yep.
And to be our model. And so she can't help. She just has to... The most she can do is, like, hold stuff for us. And so we saw a few things on the table. We're trying to think of what to do because the theme is natural critical hit. Based off of the con's theme of natural 20.
Because if they're 20.
And so we're looking at the stuff on the table that is like the grab bag stuff, stuff that you can just have extras of.
Mm-hmm.
But then there are a bunch of burlap sacks with the items you can use. And you can even use the burlap sack to make your costume. So we're looking at it and we're like, oh my God, a lot of the stuff up there, we could make Cheryl, Queen of Mars, from that from the episode of Archer where they go into space. And of course, Amanda has the exact same body type. She has her hair done up almost exactly how Cheryl's is in that episode. We're like, yeah, depending upon the stuff in the bag, we could do this.
Right.
And so we open up the bag and it's perfect. There's like this kind of see-through silver plastic material, like a coil of it. That is perfect to make her three-layer skirt.
Right, right, right.
There's tubing on the table. There's tin foil in the bag to wrap the tubing in. Blue Solo cups to kind of make the masking tape that she uses. There's like a hairnet to use for the veil that she makes her little hat out of. And we'll post a picture of
that
adorable outfit. And we made this outfit damn near picture perfect, and we got 2 threes and a 4 out of 5 because I think the judges didn't really get it. I think Negasonic certainly did, and they also judged, with the exception of the very first participant, they judged a lot harsher in the beginning and a lot easier towards the end.
Sure.
But everybody else just made like sort of D&D armor characters, and not a lot of people made characters, and I'm just sitting here thinking, well, this is a cosplay competition, isn't it? Aren't we supposed to make characters? But okay, whatever. But there was this little kid who is the exception to what I'm about to say, where they dressed her up as this sort of old man wizard, and the costume was amazing. Like, it deserved to win, and it did win. But other than that, a lot of people just used their very, very small children.
Depending on cuteness factor, they just slap
stuff on them and use their cuteness factor to get all these fives, and I'm pretty pissed about that because the work wasn't that good, again, except for the wizard. But, you know, whatever. You work with what you got. Honestly, Blake and I were kind of hoping Amanda's rather attractiveness would get us a few extra points, especially from Kratos, but apparently he's a dick. But what I think really kind of busted our chops about it was the middle judge who gave us a 3. She was like a Starfleet engineer. She walked by us after the thing as we were just walking through. She's like, oh my God, this is amazing. I love this. And we're sitting here going, why did you give us a 3?
She only loved it enough to give you a 3.
I wonder if they were only allowed to do like a 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. How many groups were there?
Like 25.
Oh, okay. So 25 different groups. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, no. They handed out 4s and 5s like they were candy to other people. But here's the thing. The audience, the people in the audience got the costume. And we got one of the biggest applauses, with the exception of maybe the Black Knight from Monty Python.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the nice thing about, I'm sure, having Amanda as your model is that obviously she knows Archer, she knows who Cheryl is, and she's an actress.
She didn't really. We gave her a brief rundown, and she did this little walk that was so, like, entirely Cheryl. Like, she needed very little, instruction, and she just crushed it.
Nice.
As she does.
We'll talk about our division cosplay in a moment. Last night there were there was 3 fembots that were walking around with an Austin Powers.
There were 4 fembots in the show, and one of them was a guy, and he was hilarious.
Oh, he might have been the guy.
Was there an Austin Powers with
them?
There
was an Austin Powers as well.
And I don't know who the 4. Anyways,
but
I only found 3.
Yes,
with Austin. And
I'm pretty sure he wanted out of that costume.
And the guy, he did. Oddly enough, because if you look on our Instagram and our Facebook, you'll see a picture of his butt. And I got his permission to post that photo because he was in this Austin Powers thing, and the fembots were like dancing around, and then they're like, oh, Austin, you should come join us. He's like, oh, it's sexy time, and then just Velcroed off his clothes and was in his little red Speedo British flag on the butt. It was awesome, and they were super awesome. And then they had a friend with them that was somebody from Dragon Ball Z, and I'm like, why are you not Basil? Like, why did you choose? And he's like, I worked real hard on this, and I wanted to do this. I'm like, okay, but you could have won that a different day, and then when they did all this, you could have been Basil.
Well, and in that context, I mean, Kevin and I had very similar cosplays that we had possibly intended to do together, but just due to timing, our cosplaying did not actually match up. So mm-hmm. we did a mash between Mario and Marvel.
Right.
He did Wario Thanos, and I did a Bowser Black Widow. And we both wore them different nights just because... Right. You guys were doing the Division stuff on the night that I was going to do the Bowser stuff, and it just happens. It right. happens.
It does. And they take time. They definitely take time. Yeah, we did our group Division thing. My Mike, myself, Kevin, Amanda, and Lee. Amanda and Lee from our podcast. And Mike's been on our podcast too, actually. So people you've heard on our podcast, we all did Division, and it was kind of funny. So we left our hotel, and where our weapons panel was that Amanda Lee and I were doing was over in the Sheridan. And so you have the five of us walking through the hotel from our from where our tower is all the way across the courtyard. And people were like, I don't know how to describe it, Kevin, like staring at us or going, what the hell's going on? Who are these people? The Brute Squad's here. Like,
I am the Brute Squad.
Because we're four big guys and Amanda.
Yeah, we definitely stopped a fair number of people.
Yeah, and, you know, it was kind of fun. That was kind of enjoyable.
And slightly different context this year, because this is the first year that we've actually had active cops constantly on property.
Right.
And so I'm not sure if they had a different feel to it or if they thought that the cops might have been, like, amping up their coverage a little bit right. more.
Maybe. Some lady, when I was going down to one of the parties last night, when I was just in the stripped-down version of my hippity-bitty-bitty.
My
costume. When I was in the shorts, thank you. When I was just in the shorts and but had everything else on, like I got on the elevator and some people like, I'm like, oh, it's just me on the elevator. Come on. They're like, oh, we thought we couldn't get on. You look very authoritative. I'm like, oh, just come on. But I do have
classic.
I do have to give props to the Bloomington cops that were here. I've seen a lot of photos of them like having fun with the cosplayers.
Yes.
And, like, getting along and just smiles on their faces. And, you know, they were here and you saw them, but they weren't really seen. Like, you know they were there, but to me they weren't, like, being intrusive.
Yeah. My favorite instance was I was hanging out in the garden court and there were three cops just hanging out against a wall. And this lady comes by with a cat. Now, I've never seen a cat at Convergence before, but, you know, things happen. And so she stops and she hands the cat to one of the cops and they start taking photos. And all of a sudden there's a whole herd of people around taking
right.
photos. And
right.
then two more cops show up to be part of the photo shoot with said cat. And then I notice the actual cat and the cat is super derpy. And it's just
it's a
the funniest
it's a cancer
thing.
Cat.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm.
No.
And then another one last night was awed by the lightsaber battle that was going on outside in Smoker's Paradise.
Right. There's a lot of odd-looking faces on the cops' faces, too, with all the cosplay for obvious reasons. I think they were like, people are wearing this? Why am I not a nerd? Why did I make fun of nerds growing up? The other one was that I think it was on Twin Cities Geeks or the Convergence community. It was a picture of two cops with a girl who's in 19th century like undergarments type. It's not, she's not really revealing anything, but they're like giving her like the naughty finger, like, and then it was a post about no showing your underwear in public or whatever the city ordinance is about, you know, and whatever the badge ribbon was for breaking the rule at con or illegal at con or whatever it was.
I don't know the badge ribbon.
But there was that thing that they posted, and it was probably made before that.
I think Hal had them. Wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think. But the fact that the cops played along with it was just, you know, it was, to me, it was nice of them to not be dicks.
Yes.
Because they certainly could have been.
Yeah. Speaking of city ordinances, I did not know until this year that Bloomington had a law on underboob.
Yep.
Which
yep.
changed a lot, I found, of the burlesque shows that were going on, because we have a number of shows that happen at Convergence, too.
Absolutely.
And I know a number of people that participate in the burlesque show every year, and one of them had to change her entire outfit due to the legal restrictions here, and she's like, I need to find more leaves.
So if they can't have underboob, what happens if they just had pasties over their hoo-hoo dillies?
They have to cover it, hence
really?
The leaves.
Yeah, so they have to have pasties over, I think,
anything
this.
That is horizontal from the nipple out until the breast tissue meets the chest needs to be covered.
And not even like top of areola down.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. I also found out that they have a city ordinance against same-sex kissing.
What?
Yep. There is an ordinance that says, I think it's specifically to women.
Is it because they don't believe guys can love each other?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Did they actually
do anything about it here, though?
No.
You, me, and Rob broke that in Smoker's Paradise.
Sure
yes,
did.
You did.
No, I did not kiss Rob.
I was there.
Oh, that's right. You wouldn't.
I don't kiss Rob.
Ha ha. Sucker.
I don't know why. Maybe it's just because he forces it, and it's like, ah.
Maybe it's because he forces it.
I mean, that sounded horrible. I'm sorry.
That did sound horrible.
That is not what I meant. Oh, there's a vacuum behind us. That's going to be awesome on our recording.
That's fine.
That's fine. We really are live. You can hear the vacuum.
Yay. Well, we're wrapping up at the con for the day, so everybody's like moving back and forth and
sure.
hauling stuff, and it happens.
Sure are. What else was I going to say?
Fusion?
Yeah, in a moment. I was just going to wrap up by saying, you know, I was on three panels. The bug out bag one was pretty cool. I didn't like the fact that they were at 11:30 at night, but whatever. The other one, the 80s crime scare one, actually turned out a lot better than I thought. Like, there was a really good... I lucked out, obviously, with the Man in Leah. I'm going to have good panelists. But this year, I lucked out, and I had really good panelists for all of the panels that I moderated. And they were all had very good and unique perspectives about the things we were talking about, especially, like, the bug-out bag one, because, like, some people lived in the country, and some people lived in the city, and some people lived elsewhere. So it's like... It was a good conversation about, you know, what do they have a bug out bag for? And then even the crime scare one, which could have gone, in my opinion, very south very quickly. It did not.
That's good.
Yeah. And we had a really good conversation. We talked a lot about RoboCop.
Because that rules.
and then somebody posed the question about who would win who would you rather have as a law enforcement mechanical type person, RoboCop or Terminator?
RoboCop.
RoboCop.
I don't know. We got in a really good, like, it was a good 15-minute discussion.
No, I would love to have a 15-minute discussion as to why. I feel RoboCop still has that human element.
Right. But then, you know, I thought that too. Then I really started thinking about it, that one line in Terminator 2 where Sarah Connor's like, he will never stop protecting John. He will run 24 hours. He will never sleep. He will never beat him. He will never abuse him. He won't do any of that, and he will continue to protect John. So if you had that same mentality for like a police force, and I was kind of like, I think I was going with the Terminator.
And while I agree with that, I still think that RoboCop can do all the same things. But again, RoboCop still has
that human
element,
yeah,
of caring.
Yeah,
and flawed. of making, you know, there's sometimes a human decision that a robot just can make. iRobot, as terrible as it was, makes the good point of, you know, Will Smith's character kind of in the beginning was trying to get this robot to save this little girl, but saved him instead because he had the higher survivability chance. And he's like, it's just, with them, it's just lights and clockwork. He did the math. He's like, I would have taken the chance. I would have saved that little girl.
Right.
And I think that's where RoboCop would be different. Plus, RoboCop is a jetpack. Sure, it was in the third shitty one, but jetpack.
There was RoboCop's jetpack that was mentioned quite a bit. So,
and classic.
And when the question was first posed, I thought he would literally meant like in a fight, like mano a mano. And I'm like, well, but then I was like, and then we started talking about the philosophical, like better law enforcement. And then I was like, oh, that's what you meant. Oh, well, this I had a different answer for the question. So. And then obviously our weapons panel, and I think, although I was a little nervous at first because there was it was an awkward space, probably one of the best weapons panels we've done.
And it was freezing in there. I loved it.
It was so
like I was getting cold. It was delicious. You would have been miserable, Crystal.
I've been cold this entire convention, and I hate it.
I think we should have different rooms next year.
We should just have different. I mean, wait.
Bring a giant heated blanket.
Yeah,
for Crystal.
Bring a heated blanket and a parka. For our convention in July.
And a parka.
Speaking of conventions, let's get over to our next convention that we are all participating in. So, Fan Fusion is coming up in the beginning of August.
Sure is.
Slightly different than this one, so it's not like we are going to be all hanging out at a hotel.
No.
I mean, we could technically get a hotel, but it's not the same culture.
It is blocks from my house. I don't need a hotel.
Crashing at Nick's. Got it.
I got wooden floors. I don't think they'll be very comfortable.
Ow.
Yes, we will all be at Fan Fusion. Crystal, do you want to talk about what you will
be
doing?
Sure. So me as WD Carousel of Podcasts, that is our Disney podcast. And when I say our, I mean Ian. I'm not sure if he's going to be able to attend yet. We are doing a number of different panels. I am going to be doing a princess costume contest. And there's going to be sing-alongs as well, because Yay. Who doesn't love a good Disney sing-along? And it'll just be a lot of fun. So that's where I'll be. That's what I'll be doing. And if you want my thoughts on Disney in conventions, you should check out our most recent podcast that we just posted yesterday, because we actually go into depth. It's interesting when you think about how many nerddoms are now socially acceptable, but how many panels there are of Disney when you consider this was a 4-day event and there were two.
Wow.
It's like, do people still see Disney as a stigma or part of their childhood that they don't want to admit that they still like, except for when it comes to cosplay? And so we go into a big debate about that.
I attended the live action Disney panel that Megan was on.
Yep, that is one of two.
And it was very interesting, and they actually brought up that nostalgic factor about remaking live action, and it was a very interesting panel. Sorry, Kevin, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, it's quite all right.
Cut in front of you.
I think the reason why is because Disney is considered this sort of childish thing. Even though we all, adults, love it, it's still thought about as a youth type of thing.
And comic books aren't?
And that's the point I'm trying mm-hmm. to get to. Is that this convention is very much about sci-fi, fantasy, and comic books. That's its main hook for Convergence. And while Disney now owns a lot of that, Disney, with its official brand on it, as far as like its animated movies and stuff like that go, they don't do a lot of that. Like they do the princess fairy tales, but fairy tales and fantasy aren't exactly the same type of thing. So I think that's why. I think if you want more Disney panels, make them.
And I probably will as we move on, but...
But I think that's why. I think a lot of people cosplay, and I think if there are more panels, people would certainly go to it. I just don't think it's the first thing that comes to your mind when you think of a comic book convention is Disney. Even though you should, because they own it all. So if you really think about it, probably 80% of the panels were Disney products.
And my comparison here was, if they could have a panel about Nightwings but a couple years ago, why can't they have more Disney panels?
I made a stink about that one.
Oh yeah, that was a big debate a couple years ago. But still, if they can have a panel specifically towards one character's one physical feature and just fangirl over that, why are we not allowed to be in touch with our Disney side? So we have a big podcast about that. Check us out, WD Carousel of Podcast. We are on carouselofpodcast.com and Facebook, and you can find us on all the media, Google,
all
iTunes,
the media,
all the places. So
We will be there. Best Threesome Ever will be there. We're gonna have some added visitors. I believe Lee will be joining us. Megan will be joining you on the
Doctor Who one.
So we will be doing quite a few. We will be doing one called, myself and Lee will be doing one on Friday called Actually, where you have to, we'll give you a misquote and then you have to give it. And I think I'm going to run it a lot like, whose line is it anyways? Where I'll kind of be like, this is all for fun and points mean absolutely nothing. So we'll just give people points and maybe try to find some not lame, but little gifts or something we can give people or... Because you have to be careful. You can't give them candy because if they're allergic to peanuts, they don't want to kill anybody and so on and so forth. So, and then Kevin and I on Saturday are doing the Walking Dead Survivor Quest, where we will have teams competing in a questionnaire contest. The duct tape costume contest was canceled. I'm so mad.
Yeah.
Bummed about that one. Then we'll do another one from The Force Awakens to Episode 9, the new trilogy. Kevin and I, and if Rob will be there, I don't know.
Otherwise, we have Blake ready on standby.
Yeah, we have Blake. Yay, Blake. And then the Masquerade Costume Contest, which Best Threesome Ever will be hosting running, I guess. We're not judging. We are just hosting. So we will be your moderators for that. And that'll be... I'm super excited for that. That'll be super fun.
The speed dating thing?
The what?
The speed dating thing.
Oh, yeah. That's on Sunday. So you want to be a henchman where Gravitas is going to be looking for some new henchmen, I believe. And then I'm going to do a Walking Dead mythos of The Walking Dead. And then you and Megan will be doing the Ain't My Doctor, talking about Doctor Who.
I wonder if Blake and Megan want to help out on the Henchman one.
Sure, absolutely.
Blake is Gravitas's boss and Cutlass is his number two.
Yeah, we can talk about it. We only have 3 weeks.
Don't
shut up.
That.
I don't think I'm gonna do any cosplaying.
Me either.
I just
might wear my like mini ears and stuff, but that'd be about it.
Yeah, I think it'll be nerd t-shirts and best recent ever t-shirts. And
at most, I might like do a little bit of a Gravitas get up for the henchman thing.
Or maybe for the costume contest, masquerade contest, we can be our Hidden Temple. We can wear khaki shorts and our Hidden Temple shirts.
Oh, totally.
Because it'll be hot on that stage. Rob wants to wear bow ties. I'm like, I don't think
so.
No,
I think we should do the Legend of the Hidden Temple, which I'm currently wearing.
You sure are.
I haven't got a ribbon to match.
You sure do, and that's awesome.
Barracuda represent.
I didn't see any red jaguars. I saw the silver monkeys. I did not see any red jaguars.
I think they said red jaguars were the third one.
Were they?
Yeah. No, maybe it was purple, though.
Maybe.
I thought it was the purple parrots.
Maybe.
So, Fan Fusion will be Sunday or August 3rd through the 5th at the St. Paul River Center. So we will be there. You can definitely find us. I don't think they do badge ribbons or anything there, so I'm not going to even bother.
No, it's just the River Center.
Right. Do you want to talk about Incredibles 2 at all real quick? Or
sure.
Just what you guys thought of it? I know we've all
go
seen it.
Go see it.
Incredibles 2, the original one came out when I was actually working at Disney.
Oh, time out. Spoilers real quick, just in case if you need to stop the, we will
sure.
Probably spoil this thing.
As always, we have tons of spoilers.
Right.
So Incredibles 1 came out, spoiler alert, I guess, when I was working at Disney. My best friend, of course, was a huge comic book nerd, and he and I were, you know, both got jobs at Disney for our college internship. So he and I went to see it together, and we lost our minds, and it was amazing. And so we kept waiting for a sequel, and you know, everyone I was friends with who loved it was waiting for a sequel, and we see them make we saw it get canceled in lieu of Cars 2. Among other projects, I obviously don't hold any of the Toy Story sequels against Pixar because they've been amazing. But then they did Cars 3. But now, 14 years later, we finally get an Incredibles 2. And Jesus H. Macy, guys, was that worth the wait?
Yeah, it was.
The kid that got to play Dash, I don't know if anybody here listens to the WD podcast, but we did talk about it right after the movie. But no, the kid who plays Dash was... It sounded just like the original.
Identical.
But the guy who played kind of their handler, you could definitely hear the change of voice because the original...
Yeah.
Bud?
Yep, was passed away.
Yeah, passed away. But yeah, everything... I wish we had gotten a chance to see Honey, but we didn't.
That was my biggest disappointment with this movie was... You, everybody loves Honey, but she has only ever been an off-screen character. Mm-hmm. You know, the, what do you need to know? And they even have concept art for her. They have a sculpt of her, and they had been dropping that. And we've been excited for seeing her because she is actually a very lush woman, which is something that I am pro because I like to represent all body types and all genders and all races, and it was just going to be a really good representation. Mm-hmm. And they decided to just make her a voice part again, and you never got to see her.
Bud Lucky was his name.
Bud Lucky. I knew the Bud. I can't remember. I knew it was something kind of cartoony like that. But yeah, I mean, I was hoping to see her. I'm still holding on to the fact that I think she's super ultra mega lightning babe.
Yeah.
But yeah, the villain was good. It was a little predictable.
Yep.
Spoiler alert that it was the sister.
Right.
But it's barely even a spoiler because, like, as soon as you meet her and her brother, you're like, oh yeah, they're going to try and make it like he's the villain, but it's super duper her.
Yeah.
I think it's funny that the Underminer got away and they never readdressed it.
I think he'll come back in the third one.
Probably.
In 14 years.
And for me, Jack stole that entire movie.
Especially his fight with the origin story of Rocket Raccoon.
Oh, my God.
So
that
good.
That was a brutal fight.
It sure was.
They're beating the shit out of each other.
Sure were.
So I'd been seeing posting, and I talked about this on our First Impressions podcast, but I had seen at the parks different, like, they were almost Rock'em Sock'em robots, but it was Jack and a raccoon before the movie came out, and they were having them for sale at the parks, and nobody got the reference, and now I think it's amazing.
Ugh, that's awesome. Yeah, Jack and that, just so good. It was, I almost want to say this was, I like this and think it was a better movie than the first one.
Yeah.
It was definitely one where a sequel outshine the original.
And I for the most part, with the exception of the Cars movies, Pixar is pretty good at that.
Yeah,
Toy Story 3 was, without a doubt, the peak of their filmmaking for that series.
Mm-hmm. Until 4 comes, we don't know.
Yeah. There are Airplanes 2. No?
No, okay. No, let's just stay away from those. But Coco was another heart-wrencher. But anyways.
Never saw Coco.
I think it's on Netflix now.
It is on Netflix.
There's a lot of things that I haven't seen.
We own it.
I still haven't seen Moana. I still haven't seen...
Both of them are on Netflix. Would you get your life together?
I'm rewatching Deep Space Nine.
Because that's more important.
It's not, really. I fall into that the episodic systemic that is Deep Space Nine.
When you're doing stuff, like putting con stuff together.
Right.
Like,
that's exactly what I was
episodic
doing.
Episodic I've seen before, so yep. I can just kind of, you know, tune into it on occasion.
I don't know why I'm rewatching it, especially the first scenes. It's super hard to get through because it is very systemic. And you just go,
so bad.
Yes, I try to use the big word, folks. Deal with it. That's what happens when Nick drinks a lot the night before. I use big words. So anyways, Incredibles 2. Absolutely 100% on our mindless rating system. Go see it in theaters.
See it in theaters, 100%. It's a very big movie. Elastigirl's motorcycle scene is going to blow your damn mind.
Yeah.
I loved how they humanized Mr. Incredible.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
And turned him into, you know, a real person with his stresses and pressure and how, you know, he wants to deny to himself originally that, oh no, I can totally do your job.
Right.
Your job's super easy.
Right.
And then he gets slapped in the face hard with the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And that really helped out. And it came out during Father's Day too, which I thought was perfect for a hand-in-hand
absolutely
opening.
Did he ever actually use his powers any time during the movie? I don't remember him, like, even in the first one, like, he would lift a couch or whatever. And
he did once. He had the googly glasses on.
Oh yeah, that's right.
I mean, while Mr. Incredible,
yeah
I mean a little bit, but I mean for the most part, his, you know, he used his powers when he was in his suit,
right? And my favorite was when can you uncrush this?
You can uncrush stuff.
That guy wasn't not Black Gravitas.
It was awesome. Go see it in the theaters, absolutely 100%.
Can you unpunch someone?
Void.
I want more Void.
I do too. 100%. Who voiced? I'll have to look who voiced
she
Void.
She just fangirled hard on Elastigirl, and I think that's like everybody wants, like what everybody wants to do.
Right.
But she's someone that could definitely hold her own, and it showed.
Did you, speaking of Elastigirl real quick, going back to cosplay, did you see the girl who was dressed as, she was dressed as Elastigirl, but in her Incredibles outfit, but actually had like her natural body looked almost identical, or the human equivalent to
the term you're looking for is thick with two C's.
I did not.
She looked amazing.
Well, that's good. Good,
like,
for her.
It was like you it, beautiful. It was gorgeous. It worked
again,
so well. It
just
was
bring more body types to movies so that way we can appreciate them.
Right, and she, like I said, no pun intended, she looked incredible. It was simply amazing.
Well, and even before the movie opened, a lot of people were posting memes about wanting to see Elastigirl again, and
yeah.
you know, her curves and everything. And I thought, it makes me happy.
Yeah.
And then they were kind of joking around about, well, if Elastigirl can enhance certain areas, you know, who's to say that those are her natural hips or yada,
it's
yada,
the
yada.
Same. It's the same thing with Mr. Incredible. So,
Her name's Sophia Bush. She hasn't been in a ton of stuff I've seen. I don't know if you watched Chicago PD, but she was on that for a very long time.
I watched it briefly because a friend of mine from high school was in it briefly.
Yeah, she was on both that and Chicago Med and Chicago Justice and Chicago Fire because they're all connected TV shows.
Right.
But yeah, she played Erin Lindsay on that.
Okay. The name sounds familiar, but...
And Law & Order Special Victims Unit because that's also attached to the show.
Never saw it. Anything else you guys want to say about Khan? I mean, are you guys, what are you guys going to miss?
She was on One Tree Hill. Have you ever watched that?
I did not. Ugh. What are you guys going to miss about this area? You guys have done this way more. You've done Khan way more than I have. What are you going to miss about the Doubletree Sheraton area?
Honestly, the party room setup is almost unmatched.
I'll back that.
Yeah.
Because with the way that it is set up, it just turns into the epicenter of your evening.
Yeah.
You go there. And you know you'll find your people there. Mm-hmm. It's not like you have to hunt them down. And it's almost like a big conga line between right. the different rooms. When they were running at peak in previous years.
Sure.
I mean, you would have the camaraderie of hanging out in the hallways, trying to get into the rooms. You would joke around. You were forced, because you were just packed in like sardines so much, to sit in a room for a while, and you were able to, you know, absorb the scenery as much as you can when you're a sardine.
Right.
But, you know, it was a big happy party center with food in the middle, because then you'd be forced to go by the peanut butter and jelly room, the rice room, the soup room, and they kept those open to make sure that you were keeping fed
and hydrated.
I'm so mad I didn't get to the where the soup was this year.
You wanted the ribbon?
I wanted the ribbon. So one of the rules was that they couldn't have soup this year.
No, I got that corrected. They just were told that they could have it, but too late for them to order it.
So, but I mean, it originally that was a rule.
Yes, it was one of the original.
They did get it back, but it wasn't in time. Mm-hmm. And so where they were doing the food, the rice and the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, they had a ribbon. If you complained about the lack of soup, that was no soup for you. Come back 1 year. And I can't think of anything better than that.
Nice. Yeah, I did not. I only visited Con Suite once, and that was to get a cup of coffee the other day. Actually, I think it was yesterday. But I did not get any rice. I did not eat it all this week. I'm a horrible person.
I didn't either.
I ate beef jerky and a couple peanut butter sandwiches when Ian was not in the room, so I didn't kill him.
I almost want to go home and like step on the scale before we get something to eat just to see.
I didn't even eat breakfast this morning, and yeah, I have Pop-Tarts.
I mean, I did do a lot of pre-prep this year because we were, just so you're all aware, we were rebelling on spending any money at the Doubletree yep. more than we could, just because they decided to change the contract mid-year and really not, they were trying to get rid of us. And so a lot of people have decided that we were doing a silent protest of not giving them any more money. So we had pre-planned a whole bunch of food to have in mm-hmm. the room. We had roast beef sandwiches. We did, Kevin did an amazing pulled chicken barbecue.
Goddamn right I did.
And we egg sandwiches. I even did a tea party one night and had cucumber sandwiches, egg salad sandwiches, nice. Scones, and a whole bunch of stuff for people. And that way we weren't giving the money to the hotel. And then you just have to remember to feed yourself.
Right.
And if you're not in the room, then that's the hard part.
And that's the thing, is like in years past, we've always ate at the restaurant at least a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
That place is always packed. And this year, I did see people in there, and every time I died a little on the inside. But
it was never full.
Never full.
Never so the to the protest, point of where it always was.
My protest seemed to be working.
My favorite was, I think the restaurant pulled out that walking taco stand outside.
Out of desperation.
And I almost did. They looked so good.
They
but
did,
like,
but
no, I'm
but
not going to get
then we found Taco Libre.
Taco Libre.
So I'm going to miss Taco Libre.
Can they just build a Taco Libre
by the
Sheraton?
I also heard that the Sheraton, which is not officially the sister hotel to this, but it is the sister hotel for this convention because they are literally right across the street from each other.
Sure are.
And they share a lot of the same events. They're the ones that host the dealer's room. It's where a number of panels are, yada, yada. They are super sad that we are not going to be back here this year as well because, or next year as well, because DoubleTree decided to be, you know, pains. And I heard that in their restaurant, they were actually giving discounts to people who had com badges.
20% off.
Oh, I wish I would have known that.
Yeah,
they're probably
just
still running it.
I just found that out. So, I mean, I feel super bad for all of the businesses around here that are
going to lose money.
They love us.
They do.
They love us. Even the staff here. And we're not, don't worry, we're not holding it against the actual people in the hotel.
No.
Which is a big thing because these people here have always supported us and loved us. And even the gentleman who, the bellhop who helped us load up our car today was like, very, very sad. He's like, you guys are, if not my favorite con, like my second favorite event of the year, and we don't get to have you anymore, and it makes me mad.
Yeah. I do have to get a shout out to the programming people here. So our weapons panel was at the Sheridan yesterday, and there was other people occupying the space, and we clearly had that room for the thing, and so I went and I talked to the programming people, and they sent over representatives. They were super awesome, and they were very responsive to, like, hey, yep, it's your space. We will go around and ask people politely to – they were gaming and stuff, and so we were – I didn't want to be the dick, and they were like, no, we'll go ask them, and they did, and they were super awesome.
Tyler Noble's Star Trek script read group who let us use their mics and stuff.
Yes. Oh, that's who that was?
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh. Yes, thank you to them. I owe Aaron, I believe his name was, who it was his thing. I told him I'd buy him a drink, so Aaron, I owe you a drink if you happen to listen to this. Or anybody that knows Aaron, please hit me up on Facebook and let me know. I will honestly buy you a drink.
I'd probably ask Tyler or Casey. They were both at the read-through, so they'd probably know him.
Yeah, that would be... but thank you for the, I mean, they were super respectful. It was super nice. And that's, I think that's one thing about these cons that I really like is that everybody is so respectful, mostly, but it's like big nerd community. So it's not like, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, and again, I can't reiterate how more relaxed this year was. I think this was a good way to wrap up our 20 years in this convention hotel, minus the, you know, 30 or where we were someplace else. But it's been a really relaxing atmosphere this year.
Yeah.
Everybody really connected as a community, and we found workarounds. That was the thing. Absolutely. We found workarounds so we could still have the best con that we could and not let the man drag us down.
Right.
Yeah, so that basically that's Incredibles too.
Yeah, so I had something I don't remember what I was gonna say. I had a really fun con experience. Not as much fun as I would have liked to have had, but it was good. It was good for its last time and my third con now. So here's hoping that next year will be better. And anything else you guys want to plug? Do you want to plug WD Carousel?
Yep, so WD Carousel Podcast. Again, we are on carouselpodcast.com. You can find us on iTunes. I am very prevalent on Instagram. Google Play Music, you can find us as well. And Facebook, I occasionally post on. But if you want me, find me on Insta.
I think Winner Is You is going to be premiering in the next week or two.
And then I think
it should be bi-weekly after that.
Yay.
And the official YouTube channel for The Lair is now Friendship Smuggler, which is the production company name. So be on the lookout for that because it will be now premiering on the same channel that The Lair premieres on, which is youtube.com/Friendship Smuggler.
Great.
So smuggling like what Han does, not snuggling like what we do at night.
That's true. And then I released Spoiler Sort Of. You can find that on YouTube on that Spoiler Sort Of. You can just type it right in, and it should be the first one that pops up with the green little person, because I haven't found a picture yet for it. And
classic.
It's co-produced by Ian and I, and it stars all of our friends, so
yay.
we'll be releasing more episodes.
I appreciate how short those are, too.
Yes.
So those are, like, perfect little, like, geek bites.
Yep, and that's what we were aiming for.
Geek snacks.
And what we learned, actually, on our pilot episode with Megan was that 5 minutes was too long.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the pilot episode was Joanna.
That's the first episode.
Not the pilot. They didn't.
The pilot will be released to Patreon. We're gonna probably start a Patreon, and we're gonna probably release that as part of the Patreon.
Pilot episode is also the name for episode one. You can't have a pilot and an episode one.
Shut up,
beta
Richard.
Episode.
Okay.
This is how I'm making it in my head, and it makes sense in my head. The unaired pilot episode. So anyways. So again, find us at FanFusion. Come find us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Con. Thank you, everybody that attended Con. Thank you to all the people that we met here at Con. I had a lot of great conversations with a lot of new people. Those other guys that did the division, those guys were awesome to talk to. The Foot Clan people, you guys were awesome. The Bobsy twins, the boo boo boos, the fembots.
All the NASA I'm Not Flat
yes.
girls.
Yes.
Shout out to them.
God, glorious. But anyway, so this has been Best Threesome Ever, episode 65. I'm Nick.
I'm Kevin.
And I'm Crystal.
Thanks for tuning in, and we will see you next time.
Bye-bye.
The views held here by the nerds of Best Threesome Ever do not directly reflect the views of nerds everywhere.